Number 11, 2013 through 2014 waterfowl season. This is a briefing, public hearing, and a decision. Don Craigie, our waterfowl section manager, is here to walk us through this item. Where'd Brad go? Oh, there he is.
Did you call for a break?
I thought you left.
Thank you, Chair Wecker, members of the commission, administration. I'm Don Craigie, the waterfowl section manager with the wildlife program, and we're dealing with agenda item 11, which is the migratory waterfowl seasons amendment of WAC 232-28-436. I wanted to give a quick recap of how the waterfowl seasons are set each year, a little bit different than some of the other game species we deal with. But the Fish and Wildlife Service is the ultimate authority for migratory waterfowl seasons and other regulations that we established cooperatively the federal framework each year with Fish and Wildlife Service, which includes the earliest opening dates, the latest closing dates, maximum limits and season length, and the shooting hours. The states are given discretion through state regulations, through WACs. In our case, we can be more restrictive but not more liberal, and we can set the season timing, set the timing of the splits, and develop zones for waterfowl seasons. So a couple different ways migratory bird seasons are set. As far as the framework changes, it's a lot more complicated in that our department deals with the Pacific Flyway Technical Committee, the study committee. Our recommendations go through a series of steps, including subcommittees, the full study committee. There's a Pacific Flyway Council, which is the policy group, and currently Greg Sherrato serves on that group. And then recommendations go from there to the Fish and Wildlife Service Service Regulations Committee. And they just met this week to give us our options for the waterfowl season. So it's a pretty compressed time frame. And then the Fish and Wildlife Service Director acts on the Regulation Committee recommendations. And then those are given to the commissions. So for other changes which don't involve frameworks, as I mentioned before, that might be season timing or zones, those are a state discretion, and we have more latitude to change those. So in North America, historically, all mallard stocks were managed as one population. But over the last 10 years or so, management has been split out into three different populations. So we've worked with Fish and Wildlife Service to designate stocks in the western part of North America. And so now we have separate management systems for western mallards versus the mid-continent and eastern mallards. Some of you may have seen the latest information about habitat conditions for waterfowl. In North America, in general, the conditions were better this year as far as the habitat. Last year, we had a record number of breeding ducks in North America. This year, the counts declined somewhat, even though we had better habitat conditions. As far as areas important to our state, there were better conditions in Alberta and somewhat worse in Alaska. They had a late breakup of snowpack up there, which affected breeding population in that area. So for North America, the total duck numbers were down 6% from last year, but up still up 33% over the long-term average, which is 1955 to current. As I mentioned, we manage western mallards differently than the other areas of North America. And you can see on the top graph there, that gives the trend for western mallards. In Alaska, there was a decline of 33% from last year, as I mentioned, because of the poor weather conditions for breeding. And it was down 42% from the long-term average. But I wanted to clarify that. This slide's a little bit misleading in that the long-term average, as I'm referring to it here, just goes back to 1990. But surveys in Alaska were begun in 1955. So compared to the 1955 through 13 average, the current year is only about 10% lower than that. So the number of total mallards for Alaska, Oregon, and California was down 26% from last year and 31% from the long-term average. Again, that's just based from 1990 on. It's driven by the Alaska trends recently. So each year, I've just noticed an error in that. I'm sorry, there should be 2013-14 Western Mallard regulatory prescription is for a liberal season. And each year, a new matrix is produced based on modeling efforts. And you can see, based on that, the shaded box there is a liberal season alternative. There are certain species that are managed through separate harvest strategies, separate from Western mallards, and these are nationwide harvest strategies, including pintail, canvasback, and scop. And for pintail, numbers were down slightly from last year, 14%, and down 17% from the long-term average. Canvasbacks were up this year, 4% from compared to last year, and up 37% from the long-term average. Scop took a dip this year, minus 20% from last year, and they're down 17% from the long-term average. So as far as the season proposals for this year, there are most of the, in general, seasons are similar to what was adopted last year. The changes include a more reduced scop season from last year. That's still 107 days for the total season length, two-day youth hunt, September 21, 22. And then the remainder of the days, our maximum is 107 days. 105 days are provided for the general season. So the 86-day scop season starts in early November and runs through the end through January 26. And that's a recommended adjustment shown in your package on page 1. So the new date for scop is the season is closed October 12th through November 1st. So it would run November 2nd through the 26th of January. The bag limits change slightly as well. The total is 7 ducks to include not more than 2 hen mallards, 2 pintails, 2 redhead, 2 canvasback, that's an adjustment based on the flyway meetings last week, and 3 scop. I mentioned the limits went down for scop because of the declines in the population. And in Western Washington, we're recommending continuation of the restrictive CDEC limits, which were put in place mostly last in 2010. I'm going to get into those a little bit later, but and maybe one of the biggest changes to consider here is a change in the possession limit for all migratory birds, and that would be changed from 2 times the daily bag limit to 3 times the daily bag limit, and we are also including coot in that possession limit change. So that's another recommended adjustment in your packet. It appears in many pages in the WAC. As far as sea ducks, I gave a briefing to the commission 3 years ago when we developed our latest harvest strategy, and we said at that time we'd come back in 3 years and let you know how it was going and see if we wanted to make any adjustments. In general, we've improved our monitoring of sea duck populations since 1991. The daily bag limits were reduced in 1998. We had a bag limit of 7 for scoters. It went down to 4, and also for long-tailed ducks and harlequins. In 2004, we put in a restriction of 1 harlequin duck per season, and also mandatory reports for all sea ducks in western Washington. And then, as I mentioned, we completed the harvest strategy in 2010. At that time, the daily bag limits were reduced from 4 to 2 for scoter and long-tailed duck, and we put in a new restriction for golden eyes, mainly to protect Barrow's golden eye, going from 7 to 2. So we revised the harvest strategy this year, and a new draft is online. It was published here recently. Just a little bit of background on sea ducks. If you're not aware of the group, they're in the family Anatidae tribe Mergini. They include 19 species. Most of them are found at northern latitudes north of Washington. We have 11 species, though, that were common to Puget Sound. A lot of these slides are provided by Joe Evenson, who works on sea ducks quite a bit in Puget Sound for our agency. So one of the most common ones is the surf scoter, and 80% of all scoters are surf scoters. We also have white-winged scoters. They comprise 19% of all the scoters in the Sound. And black scoters, about 1% of all the scoters. Most of the black scoters are found in Alaska. And we also have golden eye, two species, the common golden eye. 70% of the golden eyes are common, and 22% are barrows, and bufflehead as well. It's the barrows and the common, and the bufflehead. Also, we have long-tailed ducks and harlequin ducks. Hooded mergansers, common mergansers, and red-breasted mergansers. So the information about sea ducks lags far behind that of other duck species, although we've done quite a bit over the last 15 years to try to get better information on our species. We've marked quite a few birds, over 2,000, with leg bands. We put on many satellite transmitters to track where the birds are breeding. It's mostly up in the Northwest Territories. And also looked at productivity counts throughout the Sound through boat surveys in 2010. In general, the group has high adult survival, low productivity, and a strong fidelity of breeding adults to their use areas. So they have limited capability to compensate for hunting mortality, and harvest should be considered completely additive to natural mortality. So these are factors that have caused us to take a more conservative approach on sea ducks. So as part of our survey coverage, we cover almost 7,000 kilometers every year in Puget Sound. These transects are repeated annually, and we've had the same survey crew since 1999. And we calculate indexes to the population. These aren't absolute population estimates. And we're in the process of calculating visibility correction factors, and we have a grant from the Sea Duck Joint Venture to do that using photographic techniques. But currently we have high confidence in our trends, and our trends are reported as 3-year running averages. So I want to run through some of those quickly. This is the trend for scoters in Puget Sound, and you can see in general it's been a long-term decline, which is the reason we've taken restrictions here recently. And cause for optimism in the last few years, we've seen an increase since we put our most recent restrictions in. So the last few years, you can see the uptick in the trend. Hope that continues. As far as the other species I mentioned, the trends have been fairly stable. Harlequin ducks, more recently since about 2000, have been pretty stable, although if you look at the overall trend from back from 1994, it's a slight decline. Golden eyes, again, more recent trends are fairly stable. Long-tailed ducks, same. And mergansers, fairly stable recently, although an increase the last few years, you can see. We've also been monitoring hunter trends, and this is a mandatory report species, so we have mandatory permits available at license dealers, and in general we were seeing number of sea duck hunters increasing. There were more popularity of sea duck hunting since 2004 when we started getting information on this. And the last couple of years, it has declined. The number of permits has dropped off, and the harvest has dropped off. The larger bars there are scoter harvests. So you can see the last 3 years when we put our restrictions in, really dropped down the number of scoters taken. There's also information there on long-tailed ducks, harlequins, and golden eyes presented too. So as a result of our evaluation for the past 3 years, we're recommending some slight adjustments to the harvest strategy and the criteria levels we proposed at the last go-around. And this is based on some revisions to our survey methodology, some slight changes in the areas that we are including in the survey, and also refining some of the strata boundaries. So the criteria levels have dropped, as well as the population levels in conjunction with those. So those are the more refined estimates and criteria levels we're proposing right now. And basically, though, we like to stay the course on our CDUC management and continue the restrictions we put in place 3 years ago. As far as geese, in general, a lot of the goose populations are looking good this year. For Canada geese, we do a nest count trend throughout most of the areas along the Columbia River and some other areas in eastern Washington. Our 2013 survey was 2238, and the three-year average is 2131. And our September seasons were set in April, and we'll have another two-day September hunt in eastern Washington this year. That had been closed a few years ago because of low counts. As far as dusky Canada geese, this subspecies of Canada geese is important in southwest Washington and northwest Oregon. The survey on the Copper River Delta in Alaska was not completed this year because of aircraft problems and weather delays. But the most recent three-year average is 11,663. We have a criteria level for this population to increase the quotas when it gets back up to 12,500. So we had anticipated an increase based on the trend and proposed that in our CR 102 filing, but that didn't come about. So one of the recommended adjustments is to go back to the quota levels we had last year. As far as cackling Canada geese, this is another subspecies found in southwest Washington and northwest Oregon. A big increase in the annual estimate this year, up to 312,000. The Pacific flyway goal for this population is 250,000. And the three-year average currently is 231,000. If we get another high count next year for cackling geese, we could see a recommendation to increase the bag limit from 3. Wrangell Island snow geese, these birds breed on Wrangell Island, Russia. And about half the population winters in the Skagit area. Where there's also some flocks in the lower Columbia area of Oregon and Washington. And also there are a new flock over by the Tri-Cities, about 5,000 or 6,000 birds. This population has increased pretty dramatically in the breeding ground, which is the top graph there. Unfortunately, we don't have current information on the breeding grounds the last couple of years because of changes in the Russian government, and the surveying has not gone on. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is trying to reverse that and getting some more effort on Wrangell Island, but yet to be seen when those surveys are going to continue again. In the Skagit, Fraser, this is a combined population estimate we do every year. The number is about 67,000 this year. Our management range for this population is 50,000 to 70,000. You can see here the snow goose harvest trends in the Fraser Skagit. Several years ago, we had a very high number of Wrangell Island snow geese. You can see here in about 2007, we had a peak, almost 100,000 birds. There was a lot of concern about how this population was growing, and lot of concerns about depredation and other issues that we've dealt with over the years here. So we ended up expanding the season somewhat by closing it at the end of January. Traditionally, it was closed in early January. So that increased the harvest quite a bit, and now we feel like we're within our management goals. This is an adequate level to maintain us within the 50 to 70,000 range. So the season dates and limits are in the packet are similar to last year. As I mentioned, there's a 3 times possession limit proposed. This doesn't apply to duskies or any other species where currently the possession limit is not 2 times. So it's 3 times for most of the species, but not for duskies. And I mentioned some of the recommended adjustments, but they're all listed on page 15 and 16 in your notebook. I wanted to run through these really quickly, but one is I mentioned the SCOP daily bag limit was being reduced from 7 to 3 and the season length from 107 to 86 days. And that's, again, I mentioned the restricted season length on that starting November 2nd. The change in the canvas bag limit is noted there, going from 1 to 2 per day. And the possession limits going from 2 to 3 times per day. And one floor change I wanted to point out was, it's not listed here, but for coots, we wanted to include the 3-time possession limit for coots as well. Currently, it's not included in the packet, but that would change the possession limit to 75 per day. That was the Pacific Flyway Council recommendation. There are some other minor changes on the snow goose harvest record card. We wanted to change language to clarify that to that you had to possess the card, not just purchase it. That's on page 3. And I mentioned on the dusky harvest quotas, we had to reduce those back to what they were last year. On page 7, another clarification in that hunters are required to possess a valid authorization. That was not just to clarify for enforcement that these permits can be invalidated, so it should specify you have to have a valid one to be hunting. Then on page 8, there's some other clarification just to standardize the wording on the authorization, how that's termed. Page 10 on the Veterans Day holiday, November 11th, was inadvertently omitted from the list of for Goose Management Area 4, and that's a traditional hunt day we want to include. And then on the mandatory reporting for harvest record cards, we met with the other programs as far as what the requirements are for receipt of record cards. And in most cases, it's the cards can be postmarked on the date, on the due date. And we had been requiring that they had to be received by then, so we want to try to standardize that among the programs and delete the for receipt part so we can accept them with a postmark on the due date. So those are the changes, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Smith?
Thank you. Interesting and good data, but is there a reason there's not coverage on a lot of the other puddle ducks? I mean, you covered mallards, but you know, the other puddle ducks and a lot of the other ducks that are missing there, is that in a separate report somewhere? I was just curious on the population trends, because the ones that you have are interesting, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of ducks missing.
Right. The I mentioned the pintail, scop, and canvasback, but the a lot of our management is driven based on mallards, so that's really what's driving a lot of our season lengths. And so, you know, a lot of our surveys are designed for mallard population monitoring. But there's a lot of other information on the other trends. There is a website that's a nationwide website called Flyways US that has a lot of the trends listed there, and they have a video on the status. Some years I've shown that, but I thought it actually wasn't available this year until today, so I didn't include that in the presentation. That is a little more information on those species. So, but
well, to the best of your knowledge, then, are they all? I mean, there is a little decline in some of those, which is mildly alarming, but not really alarming. But are the other trends for teal or wigeon and blacks or whatever, are those similar, do you know, at this point, or don't know?
They're, in general, things are still above the long-term averages for the North America. Okay, for the western areas, they are closer or slightly below the long-term averages, just because of the habitat conditions in the west were not quite as good as in the other areas.
Right, the drought in the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, thank you. That's good.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nice presentation. I was wondering if there's been any, if it's a federal or a state issue as it relates to geese on the east side of the state. The bag limit went up a few years ago from 3 to 4, but we're still restricted to that Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday. Has there been any consideration of adding a fourth day and versus a bag limit increase?
We've had the 3-day week hunting for quite a while. Predates me by several years, but it was put in place mainly to improve the quality of hunting in the area. That it seems like most hunters like the idea of, they call it jump days, 3-day-a-week hunting, where you provide a few rest days, and actually, it encourages birds to come back into the areas on the closed days, and then it improves the hunting on the open days. So the department, I think about 15 years ago, we made a recommendation to change that to 7-day-a-week hunting, but based on a lot of public input, we found out that most hunters like the current system. And so it's been continued since then. And I should say that just this past year, we had a comment from Oregon Fish and Wildlife that potentially you might want to reconsider that, because they're hunting 7 days a week on their side of the river on the east side. And, you know, we're hunting 3 days a week. So, but
if I may follow up, I understand the rest scenario. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. But, I mean, people are driving from the west side to the east side. They're probably averaging 200 miles each direction. And maybe a Friday, Saturday, Sunday opening, and then let them rest 4 days, mm-hmm. 5 days, you know.
We've tried to provide in some of the bigger, more interested area times of the year when people are interested in hunting, like between Christmas and New Year's, we have every day the week hunting, the last week of the season, and, you know, holidays. But I think we could investigate that some more to see if that public opinion has changed, because it seems like we haven't had a lot of comments to change it recently, but yeah.
Thank you.
Director Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Wanted to go back to, you don't necessarily need to go back there, but on slide number 9, which addresses the change in bag limit, it addresses the change in the scop season down to 86 days from what I think was 107 last year, and it also addresses the change in the number of canvas back within the aggregate of 7 from 1 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my question was. In the previous slide, on slide 8, is the one that depicted the graph that showed canvas back, and it reflects an uptick in the population in 2013, plus 4%, mm-hmm. and 37% of the long-term average. And I'm just questioning whether, if I read this right, that the uptick from 2012 was 4%, and that is a basis to go from 1 to 2 canvas back in the bag and the aggregate bag limit. And I'm just having trouble understanding the rationale behind that.
Okay. Seasons for canvas back as well as pintail and scop, they're based on harvest strategies and models of what the predicted harvest would be from certain season structures. So they're kind of predefined prescriptive levels, and so you might say, yeah, it's only going up 4%, but it crossed the threshold at that point where it was, you know, the harvest at that for a 2-bag limit can be accommodated with the predicted population size next year. That's why the change was made, but it's, they're fairly, you know, the levels are set, and it could be a 1% increase. If it goes across the level, then that, you know, it triggers the new bag limit.
Okay. I'm really not serious about this one, but I'm sure glad you increased that, included the coot and the three times the possession limit, daily possession limit. I have just a second here. Just looking at the long-term trends, looking at Scoters, it was on slide 22.
Mm-hmm.
There's a slight uptick there, but not too much. And Harlequin also actually went down a little bit from the previous year. The bag limit for Harlequin is currently one.
One per season.
One per season, mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
And for Scoters?
It's two.
Two?
Two per day.
And you had some information there that reflected hunter success. Are we able to, and there was, you lightly referenced that some of the uptick in a couple of these seabird populations might have been attributed to our more conservative harvest approach that was adopted as part of our sea duck management plan.
I think that contributed probably to lower participation and lower harvest rates, so it could have contributed. It seems to be concurrent, so there are a lot of factors that influence that trend, obviously, but it could have contributed.
Okay. I think that's all I had. Thanks.
Okay. Other questions for Don? I did have one.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about this last night a little bit. I wanted you to go on the record and tell the record what you told me yesterday about the idea of adding a Sunday in Pacific County.
Okay. Yeah, currently the season for Canada goose hunting is 2 days per week, Wednesday, Saturday, and it's been like that for many years. It's mainly to protect dusky Canada geese, and all the birds have to be checked at check station. Just recently, over the last week or so, we had some input come in verbal to ask to add another day to the season on Sunday, and in order to accommodate that, potentially the check stations would be able to close earlier to save funds and then use that for the third day. So that's kind of a new concept, and it would seem like we would want to get more public input on that. So our plan is now to, at the check stations over the coming year, to ask the hunters that are coming in about their ideas on that, and also to track, you know, when the birds are being taken. We don't really get information on that in our database right now. So to look at, you know, what impact that might have on hunters in the area. So,
okay, and one last question about duskies in Pacific County.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about an increase in dusky populations. Is there any point in the future that the restrictions in Pacific County might be lifted associated with duskies?
We'd like to see that happen. It's a very complicated season, probably the most complicated goose season in the country. And so it's we've tried to think of different ways of measuring harvest, getting away from the check stations. In some cases, we have check stations that are, you know, they don't check many geese on some days. And we are looking at different ways of enumerating the harvest, exploring that with the Fish and Wildlife Service right now. I think there's some more motivation now as the population increases to allow some new ideas on how we might enumerate the harvest. It might be through having a closed season on duskies and doing field checks, or potentially having people contact us when they want to check birds, you know, and trying to, you know, just things to make it easier on the hunter and save money on the season. So We are exploring those options.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Do we have any one who signed up? No one signed up for public input. Then Commissioner Smith, we're ready for a motion.
Thank you. I move to amend WAC 432-28463 for the 2013-14 migratory waterfowl seasons and regulations as proposed by staff.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Do I hear a second?
Second.
Commissioner Kenney seconds the motion to amend WAC 232-28436, 2013-14 migratory waterfowl seasons and regulations as proposed. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries.
Thank you.